You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
You want to dive into the mailbag? What do you say?
Let's do it.
You know, we did it last week, and it was a lot of fun. We got even better correspondence this week in the mail, more than we could ever get to, but we'll get to what we can.
I haven't heard it yet, but I can hardly wait.
Well, I'll tell you. And I'll also tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you contributed to our second quarter fundraising drive, which wrapped up just June the 30th, every order has been put in the mail. And that was no easy feat. Over the nearly two decades we've been on the air, the Postal Service has gotten worse and worse.
And more expensive.
That's for sure. And I could spend an entire hour sharing with you the lamentations of dealing with the post office, especially in a place like Memphis.
I think the post office is going to go, the U.S. Postal Service is going to go the way of the dinosaur.
It is bad, bad, bad. We got this email in from Frank in the Bronx. Frank writes, hi, James. I thank you and Keith for all you do, especially the excellent radio program. I mailed my donation today. This is on June the 30th. Criminals rigged the mailboxes around here with glue. The lines at the post office are very long. I finally ran into a mailman today. He took my envelope and said that it would be postmarked by June 30th. So it would go on the truck tonight. Please reserve my print. Let me put your mind to ease, Frank. Frank, I mailed out your order the day the email came in, even in advance of the contribution. That's the way we do business, and that's the way we take care of our listeners here at TPC. Now, let's go on. Another listener in Lynbrook, New York. You never thought you'd be this big in New York, did you, Keith?
Not at all.
Well, we're big in New York. Bronx, Lynbrook. I guess Lynbrook is someplace upstate.
Lynbrook, it must be in the Hudson Valley or something somewhere.
This past Saturday's show, the June 25th broadcast, was one of your best shows of all time. Was it that good last week, Keith?
Well, I think it was.
And you've had many, he writes. The guests were on steroids, and the show got better with each minute. Truly a winning team in common sense rules. Well, I think it's because Lauren looks good. If a guest looks good, they always sound better on radio, do they not?
Well, that's why we've got Courtney coming up.
James, fantastic show. This from another listener. Lauren's words were extremely uplifting, and you and Keith bring out the best in people. Prayers to you both. And this one comes from a listener in Montana. First-time contributor from Montana. James, I've been listening to your show now for 2 years. I love it. I wanted to start to donate to your program. I'd like a copy of your book autographed. Well, my friend, that is coming in the mail to you next week. I can definitely take care of that for you. I appreciate you and your co-host Christian Brothers standing up for our people. It gives me hope every week when I listen to your show, and I know I'm not alone. It brings encouragement that we're all in this together for our nation and Christendom. My wife and I have two young kids. We homeschool our kids here on the ranch and live in the same place our ancestors landed in 1860. Now, that's the kind, he ended up at the right program, did he not, Keith?
I believe he did.
I always wanted to let you know that you're absolutely right when you talk about how TPC, this is from a listener in Washington State, by the way, we're bebopping around New England and the
probably not Seattle.
TPC was always upholding the moral high ground, how you never entertain blowhards and other less than reputable people in the movement. I'm not just blowing smoke. I noticed that long before you ever mentioned it. That's from a listener in Washington State. Now, here is a listener, Tori, another first-time contributor. Tori is my age, she writes. My husband and I are the exact same age as you. Your career and accomplishments are nothing short of amazing to us. Happy birthday. A birthday card from a listener we've never heard from before. And Tori, to you and your husband, we put out a nice gift packet in the mail, and you'll be getting that soon.
Where are they from now?
They are from Maryland.
Okay, wonderful.
Maryland.
Maryland, my Maryland.
All right, we've got to make haste here, got to make haste. This was one that was very, very, very touching and moving to me, and then we'll move on to our third and final guest tonight. As I told her last night, though, she's really more than a guest. She's really a contributor. That's why we don't always list her as a guest. It's Courtney from Alabama, who is really part of our in-house team here. But this comes from a listener in the U.K. I wasn't able to sleep last night, and I came across one of my appearances, my last appearance on your program. You may not remember this show. Your programs are a major part of my life and have been since the start many, many years ago. And I sincerely thank you, your team, and your beautiful family for continuing the battle against the anti-Christian devils that now permeate our world and our mutual governments. I have to stop now, and he went on to share some personal things. He's struggling with an illness. I have to stop now as I'm exhausted at dictating this missive. Godspeed, my friend, and let me tell you this. If there is a way, even in death, I will always try to reach out and protect my brethren. I don't think it's possible for me, ladies and gentlemen, to fully convey, and this goes to all of the people who write, all of the people, I mean, we can only read a small fraction of the correspondence that comes in, but for everyone who listens to this program, everyone who's ever reached out, I don't think it's possible for me to fully convey to you how much of an honor it is to work with you. This encouraging feedback, the letters and the emails each week, it's a constant reminder of what a blessing it is to have this partnership and what this partnership continues to be and to share with you correspondence like this. And trust me when I tell you that reading such letters is truly humbling. Whatever the work that TPC has ever meant to you, I promise that you mean that much more to us. It continues to be a highlight of my life to share such a relationship with you. And I'd like to thank everyone again who contributed to our second quarter fundraising drive last month. All of the orders, every single one, have now been postmarked and are in the wind. So perhaps many of you have already received them. The rest of you, they are on their way. If anyone has not yet been delivered, we'll get those orders processed next week as quickly as the Postal Service will allow. And if you do not receive your incentive gift by the program of next week, send us an email, and we'll help you track your package. We get tracking on all of these things. We make sure everyone is delivered before we throw it away. So it's hard to believe, though, Keith, as I said earlier in the program at the top of the show, halfway through what I believe has been the best year yet of our programming.
Well, I was really touched by that last one from the Englishman that had been on the show and is suffering from some health problems now. You know, I've heard of being loyal till death do you part, but he's pledged to be loyal beyond death. That is really an incredible statement about the loyalty and the fidelity that is inspired by this program. And I tell you what, it's humbling to hear it.
Well, it is. And all of the people, all of the guests, all of the friends, all of the contributors, all of the donors, all of the people who have ever tuned in, we're all a part of this together. There's no I, there's no me, there's only we. And with that being said, with only seconds remaining this segment, we want to let Courtney from Alabama say hello and tell us what she's going to be talking about tonight to wrap up our Independence Day Spectacular. It's been a great show. Courtney, seconds remaining, say hello.
Hi. I'm going to be talking about early America during the pre-Civil War period and how I think that was our best time, and everything kind of went downhill more and more after that. That's the idea of what I'll be talking about.
We'll let her give it a full treatment, ladies and gentlemen. Courtney from Alabama, our longtime friend, will be back with Keith and yours truly right after this.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
We certainly agree with Neil Diamond in that statement. We just, I don't know if we would agree with him whether or not it's a good thing.
Of course, remember, Neil is a member of the tribe, so you get that glorification of Ellis Island and late 19th century immigration. I don't entirely endorse that.
He may have been the Jewish Elvis, but I'll be damned if he didn't have a lot of great music. You can't take that away from him.
Well, the reason he did is because he used a native Memphian, Chips Moman, as his producer.
Look, he was a good singer. I've seen him in concert. His songbook is legendary. We'll give him that.
Well,
even if we don't agree with him on the issues.
He wrote Sweet Caroline in a suite in the Peabody Hotel right before he did a recording session with Chips Moman. And Chips Moman of American Studios is an unsung hero. He really made so many people hit makers in the 60s and 70s.
All right, let's turn the show over now to Courtney. Courtney, They're Coming to America. I think that was on point with your topic tonight. Did the immigration that occurred after the war between the states derail the American experiment? Can a nation survive without respect and honor being paid to its ancestors and land? You wrote to me, America before the Civil War represented the true America, and the immigration that occurred afterwards was the start of our destruction. In order to be a strong people, we need to honor individual ethnic groups, regions, states, lands, and ancestors. Courtney, take the show away.
Okay. Can you all hear me okay?
We sure can.
Okay.
And your kids and dogs.
Hold on one.
I love hearing your children. They're music to my ears.
I might have to go to another room where there's less noise, but worse cell reception, so I don't know. Hold on a second. I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to I love her, but I'm talking about something a little serious this time, so I have to go to another room. And I already know I'm going to irritate
people. That's fine.
I already know I'm going to irritate
people.
You
do that when you tell the truth.
Exactly.
People have a tendency to irritate people when they tell the truth.
Here we go. Please let me know if I'm breaking up at all, because I'm in a different room. Here we go. Solitude and silence. Pre-Civil War America is when I think we were at our best. We were the most homogenous at that time. We were largely made up of the founding stock, largely British. You know, there were some French, Dutch, Scandinavian, German, and, you know, in small amounts who were either there from the very beginning or who came, you know, during the 1800s before the Civil War. But they came in small amounts. They pretty much, you know, assimilated pretty well. I'm descended from that time period. I know both of you are, a lot of Americans are. And we were the ones who created the country. You know, we created America. We're not immigrants. We created America. And the people from that time period and their descendants are the true backbone of white America. And if you want to talk about like an actual American ethnicity, I would say that is when you can really, you know, I think that's when we most personified that. Now, there's good people that came later, and I'll touch on that more, you know, later. But, you know, that doesn't mean that we can't still talk about what went wrong at what point and, you know, who it was that makes up the core and the founders of the country. It seemed like after the Civil War, we kind of lost a lot of this. We had, you know, the two of you have gone into many of the other issues that happened after the Civil War. But right after the Civil War, immigration changed dramatically. It was in larger numbers. It happened for different reasons. The country was pretty much settled at that point. There wasn't a frontier to settle, really. So when immigrants came in, they kind of just stuck to these northern cities and stuck to neighborhoods up there. They were from different parts of Europe than traditionally, southern, eastern Europe. This is a period of time when a lot of Jews came over. You know, and again, there's a lot of good people that came over during this time. I love going to an American Renaissance conference. I get butterflies when I meet somebody, an Italian American from New York City. And, you know, at this point in the game, you know, the way things are, we all need to be working together. And I would hate to go to a conference and just see like a bunch of Southerners there or something. That wouldn't be good. We're all in this together, and I welcome those people. I'm not excluding them. You know, we're all in this fight together. But it is okay to, you know, recognize that at this point in time, we just took a step in the wrong direction in our history, immigration-wise and in many other ways. And I think this wave of immigration led to more and more diverse immigration. It's like every wave of immigration after this, let's see how more diverse we can get. And you know, this whole idea, this is the Ellis Island period, the late 1800s that I'm talking about. The whole idea of Ellis Island, the Statue of Liberty, I despise both of those. I don't get butterflies when I think of the Statue of Liberty or Ellis Island. I can't stand the fact that the Statue of Liberty is a symbol of America. I would rather the cowboy be the symbol of America, not the Statue of Liberty. And this whole idea that we're, you know, I didn't have any ancestors come through Ellis Island. There's a lot of Americans who did not have any ancestors come through Ellis Island. This idea that we're a nation of immigrants, you know, I'm not descended from immigrants. I know both of you aren't descended from immigrants. Jared Taylor's not. Sam Dixon's not. Most Southerners are not. There's lots of people in this country who aren't. A lot of the people who settled the West, a lot of the people in New England, all over the country, there's a lot of white Americans that are not descended from immigrants. I find that whole, you know, slogan very insulting. And again, you know, there's good people that came in during the Ellis Island period. But, you know, I can't stand it when you hear, you know, people from this period talk about how, oh, well, you know, my ancestors came from Italy and Ireland. And so there's no reason, you know, I'm an immigrant too. So why should I, we should be letting Mexicans in now because we're all immigrants. Well, speak for yourself. A lot of us aren't immigrants. And there's also people, it seems like a lot of the, you know, talking heads on the news and the people who have late night comedy shows, it seems like a lot of them came to America during the Ellis Island period. They look down on people like me and other Southerners. And I love it when they say, oh, during the Civil War, you know, our side whoops the South. And, you know, number one, they're not even descended from anybody who fought in that war. Number two, they don't have an understanding of just how hard it was to actually beat the South. And number three, they don't have a real understanding of why the war was fought and why the South was wanting to fight and why they were right. And, you know, and I'm trying to close this bit up because I want to give you all a chance to respond. But the founding stock white people, you know, they like to try to make it seem like we're insignificant now. You go to Wikipedia and they'll say something like Germans, you know, Germans are the largest ethnicity in America now. That's not true. Founding stock British white Americans, and I know those two aren't always the same. There's a lot of overlap between both groups. I mean, there are a lot of British people that came later. But, you know, for the most part, those two groups are one and the same. Founding stock Americans are still the largest group of whites. We get undercounted in censuses because a lot of us forget, you know, we've been here so long. It's like we don't remember that we're English. You know, we'll identify with an immigrant group that came over later. I watched so many of these YouTube videos where Americans do these ancestry tests, and they'll say, I'm German or I'm from Finland, but then they do the test and they're like 75%, you know, British. And then, you know, I see that all the time. And if you add all these different like groups up, like Welsh, Scottish, Irish, English, you know, we do come out as the largest ethnic group still. And another thing I've noticed is that we, out of all the white ethnicities in this country, we WASPs, you know, colonial founding stock WASPs, the group that was here before the Civil War, we seem to hate ourselves more than any other white group. And I've noticed that even in this movement, it's like we're the group that is least likely to show pride. We're not allowed to show pride because if we do, it's like we're being divisive. And I don't agree with that. We're the ones who created the country. And if we're going to show weakness, then we're going to have a weak country. And I, you know, and I'm wondering if back during these immigration periods, starting in the late 1800s, I wonder if during that time we were already showing a weakness and a self-hatred, which, you know, if we're going to do that, then how do we expect any of these other white groups that come in later to respect us? I think that was all I had on that. But I want to let you all respond to everything I just said.
We will respond, but Commercial Talk Radio is a cruel master, so we have a break. Keith, you want to respond to that when we come back?
I'll do it.
You got something for her?
I do.
How much?
A lot.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is appealing the British government's decision to extradite him to the United States. Assange faces 17 charges of espionage and one charge of computer misuse in the United States. The Supreme Court ruled on Thursday that a Trump administration program designed to restrict illegal immigration at the southern border can be stopped by the Biden administration. Appearing on Fox News, Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn says the Biden administration's border control policies are leading to unsafe conditions for illegal immigrants and Americans.
The Biden border policy is an open border policy. It is one of the most uncompassionate things I've ever seen in my life.
Have a happy and safe 4th of July weekend. This is USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Uvalde School District's Police Chief Pete Arredondo has stepped down from his position in the city council. This just weeks after being sworn in following allegations that he aired with his response to the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School that left 19 students and 2 teachers dead. On MSNBC, Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez expresses frustration that details into the Uvalde shooting are still unavailable to the public.
And here we are, over almost approaching 40 days from this incident, and we still don't know what happened because DPS has chosen to cloister all of the evidence.
The National Hurricane Center says Tropical Storm Colin will continue to dump heavy rain along the coast of South Carolina. A tropical storm warning is in effect for parts of the Carolinas with heavy rain and possible flooding through Sunday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Since the day that
it's been great to spend another 4th of July weekend with you, ladies and gentlemen, playing some of these patriotic songs, some of these all-American songs. I can remember the first time my wife was expecting and being in the room when she was getting the ultrasound that was going to reveal the sex. And just like that song, All I Wanted Was a Son. And as soon as the technician said, it's a girl, that was all I ever wanted, and I couldn't have been more proud and more happy.
All you really should wish for is a healthy baby, and yeah, I think both you and, you know, everybody that we know, basically, and particularly our present guest, have had the blessing of healthy babies.
Well, as soon as they said it was a girl, it was just like that's all I wanted at the I got a son after that, and then another daughter after that. But you would have to be a father of a daughter for that song to make you emotional. That is a beautiful song, and for all of the women out there, whether they be married or mothers or grandmothers or little girls, whoever's tuning in tonight, for all the all-American girls out there, this show and this hour and this guest
is Courtney has one of each, right, Courtney?
I do. And
that's great.
I had all boys,
and James has two girls and one boy.
I love it.
Keith, you wanted to respond to Courtney's last segment. Now, I wanted to dedicate that song to all the girls and all the women and all the grandmothers and all the mothers in the audience. But, Keith, you had responded to Courtney's last segment. She did a great job. Respond to that, and we're going to let her continue on. She's got a lot more to share.
Okay, let me just say this. I don't endorse all of the founding stock of America quite as strongly as Courtney does. You know, Virginia was founded in 1619. Plymouth Rock and the Massachusetts Bay Colony the next year, 1620. The people in the Massachusetts Bay Colony have gotten a lot of press, and they, you know, give themselves a lot of credit for America. But I really think that they were the first group of what Freud called society's chronic malcontents. They were basically a dumping ground for religious crackpots in the eyes of the English crown. On the other hand, Southerners came to America to institute and to confirm and build upon the best that was in the English experience. That's the way I look at it. The founding fathers who were the ones that really, you know, constructed our nation, gave us the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, everything else, were Southerners. You know, John Adams and his group were kind of, secondary to it. Even though the actual revolution started in New England, it was the South that brought it to a close in Yorktown in Virginia. So that's one distinction I would make. My ancestors came over here in 1659 and settled in Culpeper County, Virginia. And these people, there are also two types in the South. You had people of basic Celtic origins and people with Norman or Anglo-Saxon origins. What we had in the South, I have an English mother. I have a mother who is an English war bride, so I know a little bit more about the geographic, societal class hierarchy in England than a lot of Americans. In America, it was if you were from the South, you were a hick, and if you were from the North, you were a sophisticate. In England, it's a little more complicated. The closer you are to London, the more of a sophisticate you are, and the further away from London, the more of a hick you are. But on the other hand, the people that were furthest from London were the Celts, the people in Wales, Cornwall, Isle of Man, Ireland, and Scotland. And, you know, those people brought a particular set of talents. They were the founder, like you said, our ancestors were the ones that basically were the pioneers, and the Celtic part of it were the best pioneers, people like Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone, people like that. The Overmountain men that won the American Revolution in the southern part of the United States. That's, you know, I think that that's the purest of the American strain from the British Isles, in my opinion. Courtney, what do you say to that?
Oh, I didn't have enough time to really go into more detail, but I agree with that. I did not mean to say that, you know, everybody descended from that time period is perfect. We definitely have a lot of traitors. A lot of American presidents in later years have been descended, you know, from the earliest Americans, and, you know, a lot of traitors among us. So I'm not glorifying all of them for sure, but I just think that, you know, every native group is going to have its own traitors. You're going to find traitors among the Japanese people, but they've never had an immigration problem. I guess my main point, and I agree with a lot of what you said too. I don't disagree with anything you said. My main point is that I think, you know, I guess before the Civil War was when we were at our best, I think. I think the Civil War changed so much about our country for the worse, and I'm going to go into a little more of that in a minute with my next topic, but I think we could have halted, you know, most immigration at that point. You know, there's just so many things we could have done differently.
Well, let me say this too. I've had a kind of pet theory that I'd like to try out on you, and that is that after the founding of the nation in 1791 or 1789 or 1775, you know, take your pick. Every wave of immigration we've had since then has brought one or more serious negatives to the national character. For example, the first great wave of immigration were Catholics driven out of Europe by the revolutions of 1848 and the Irish because of the potato famine. What did the Irish bring that was a negative? Well, they were not frontiersmen. They all wanted to have government jobs in the city. That's where you get the stereotype of the Irish cop or the Irish fireman. Now, that's fine, but on the other hand, they led to the corruption of politics in America's cities. That's one thing, okay? Now, then you had the second great wave of immigration that was from around 1890 to 1924 or so. Now, what did they bring? Well, what they brought was they had people from Southern Europe and Eastern Europe. Southern Europe was basically people from Italy, Southern Italy, Sicily, and then Ashkenazi Jews and others from the Eastern part of Europe. Now, what did they bring that was bad? The Italians brought organized crime on a level that America had not seen before. The Cosa Nostra and the Mafia. A lot of people do not recognize the Jewish presence in American organized crime. They, you know, the Italians and the Sicilians had the Cosa Nostra and the Mafia, but the Jews had the Syndicate and Murder Incorporated. But then another thing that the Jews brought over, these were Ashkenazi Jews, which were different from most of the Jews that we had had before, which were basically Sephardic. The Ashkenazi Jews brought over left-wing politics, anarchism, and communism. Communism is a Jewish invention. Marx and Engels weren't Southern Baptists or Roman Catholics or Lutherans. They were Jewish, and they came in as a hostile elite. They took advantage of America's libertarian outlook to get to the top of the totem pole, but then they did not adopt it. And that's where all the problem is now. There's a great article in the Occidental Observer last week where Kevin MacDonald goes over a book written by Alexander Dugin, who is a Russian who is a close advisor to Putin. And he sees it exactly that way. He sees the traditional American libertarians on one side, that's red state America, and the Johnny-come-latelys that took over and basically have a hierarchical authoritarian position. The traditionalists say, you can't tell me what to do. The left says, if we are right, we're progressive, and if you're not a progressive, you are a Nazi and need to be destroyed.
All right, Counselor, you've been holding court. We're going to give the fourth and final segment, the final segment of the entire TPC Independence Day Spectacular to Courtney from Alabama, our longtime friend and contributor. She'll be back to Off the Parting Shot on this holiday broadcast next. Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com.
Small Business Tech Guys has a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Welcome back, everybody. You didn't think that we would play all of this patriotic all-American music and not play our national anthem, did you, ladies and gentlemen? No, that would never happen, but we did save it for Courtney from Alabama and the final segment of this Independence Day extravaganza. I'll be back on the road next week. We're taking the show on the road again. We're back in South Carolina next week, so we're going to get a heavy dose of Dixie in next week's broadcast, but just to whet your appetite for that, there it is right there. And Courtney, the final segment is yours. Take it away. I know you put a lot of work into your appearances each and every time you've appeared over these many, many, many years. You always put a lot of thought, a lot of effort into it. So I want to give you the runway to land safely. Take it away.
Okay. Another, you know, and this kind of covers a little bit about, you know, what the Civil War ruined for us as a people, as a country. In order to be strong as a race, I think we also have to honor, you know, our regional differences and states' rights and different ethnicities within our race. It doesn't mean fighting each other, but we need to value our diversity, you know, within our race and our regional differences, you know, and what makes each of us unique. I talk a lot about Ramsey Paul, you know, sometimes goes into this. I agree with a lot of the things he says, but, you know, I talk a lot about how, you know, I'm proud to be from Alabama and have roots that go back far in Alabama to before the Civil War. You know, I've been told before that that type of pride is divisive. Like, even within our movement, I've been told by people that that's divisive. I was having a discussion. We all know Scott Terry, a great friend of ours. He had a blog up years ago. And he's a Southerner, too. And I remember he had a discussion going once about, you know, why, what makes us proud to be Southerners. And I got involved and I said, one of the things is we have roots that go back so far in a certain, you know, in our respective areas that we live in. And there were people in the movement who showed up in the discussion and they were just so offended by that. They're like, oh, well, you know, that it's like they thought that was a divisive mindset because not everybody in this country has that. Well, you know, but why? Why is that considered divisive?
But you know, Italian, according to Italians and the Irish don't ask for, you know, they don't apologize to us for being proud about their Irish heritage or Italian heritage or the Jews about their Jewish heritage. So why should we be hiding our light under a bushel?
Right. And, you know, shouldn't we be celebrating a, you know, special connection to the soil of our ancestors? And shouldn't there be more state pride and regional pride? Or in Europe, shouldn't there be, you know, pride within the different nations? Is it better to celebrate the alternative of what we have now, a result of the Civil War where everything's federalized and everybody moves around, and, you know, because of money and jobs and, you know, they pick up and leave? You know, white people move around too much, whether it's in this country or Europe.
That was a post-World War II phenomenon, basically. I think it was, you know, the post-World War II thing where you work for a big company and they're liable to send you to Dubuque, Iowa, or to Reno, Nevada, and whatnot, and you're supposed to move around dutifully. That really was a bad development, I think, for people's sense of rootedness.
Right. And, you know, in the South during the Civil War, we were trying to preserve the office of that state rights. It doesn't mean we hate other white people or want to fight them. It just means, you know, we should each celebrate our regions and states and countries. If you're in Europe, your particular country or ethnic group. And, you know, yeah, we move around too much today. People will get up and move because of money or a job or crime. In Europe, people move from country to country. You know, I understand some of it. I understand that things get rough. And, you know, in the Midwest, they're losing jobs. A lot of jobs are coming south. But another part of me doesn't really understand it. You know, I can understand moving temporarily for a job, like maybe to a next state over. But I don't understand, you know, picking up and leaving the entire region that you're from and moving to a whole other region of the country and just staying there and setting up roots there. I don't get that. And because you know, white people move around so much and flee, whether it's in Europe or over here, we're allowing the places that we flee from to be taken over by diversity. Why not stay where you are and make it better? You know, I could find a number of things wrong with Alabama, you know, and I know there's people in the audience laughing and nodding about that. Don't act like you're not. but this is my home. I could find so many things wrong with Alabama. This is my home.
Well,
though.
Just let me ask you.
Wait, Keith, could you find anything wrong about Memphis?
Yeah, I could find plenty wrong about Memphis, but you know, you're absolutely right. You know, people are rootless. Now, and they're encouraged to be rootless, and I don't think it's just an accident. I think
not all people.
Yeah, there are. Well, the thing is, the powers that be want us to be rootless. They don't want us to be rooted in the soil. They want us to, you know, think that we're cosmopolitan American liberals or something, and that somehow that's better than being a native Alabamian or Tennessean or whatever. And that is, you know, that. I would feel like I was cut off. I was a stranger in a strange land if I lived, you know, in California right now, for example.
Well, that's right. I mean, and that's, I think people who are susceptible or amenable to that sort of propaganda and that sort of nudging are completely different than us. I mean, for me, even though I live better than my grandparents ever did, I want to find a way back to the counties where my grandparents were born in rural Mississippi. I mean, I would love to be able to go back there. But, Courtney, I know you've got some final parting shots here, and I want to give the floor to you.
Yeah, and I appreciate y'all's input on that. You know, I was at an Ameren conference once, and there was a Midwestern guy, a friend of ours, I'm not going to mention his name, a Midwestern city guy, descended from, you know, Ellis Island immigrants. He sat down with me at breakfast, and he said he just went into all this stuff about how the South needs to stop being so closed-minded about Midwesterners moving down there. And, you know, I was polite, and, you know, I was polite. I didn't really argue. But on the other hand, that type of comment irritates me. I mean, is there anything we can really do about it with the country we live in right now? No, but we have every right to not like it if we don't want to. We have every right to be closed-minded. I mean, I just don't I think the South is very overcrowded right now. We're already, you know, we have all the blacks moving back here. We have Mexicans pouring in. We have bad transplants moving in from the North and good ones too. But overall, we have too many people here. I get so disgusted.
People should be trying to assimilate when they come to us. Don't you agree? You know, just if you come to someone else's country, and we are like a separate country, and if we moved elsewhere, you know, you can either be a sojourner, somebody who's just there to make a living and then go back with a handful of money, or you can try to become a citizen. And if you're going to be a citizen of whatever state or whatever region of America, you should want to assimilate to their mores. And if you don't, that's why, for example, I know that I need to stay in the South.
Courtney, we have about 2 minutes remaining. You've been on the show so many times. You know how the constraints are, and you know, I'm sure with the internal clock, how our segments run. Just want to say again before I give you the final word, what a wonderful time it's been with you, ladies and gentlemen, to spend another Independence Day weekend with you. Great guest tonight from the retired police officer in Courtney's native Alabama, Ralph Long, who is with us to talk about his fight to preserve Confederate monuments up there in northern Alabama. Courtney down there in the southern part of Alabama is with us now. And then, of course, in the middle, we had Thomas Steuben of Countercurrents. Great job talking about the American experiment and the roots and the history of this country, and really gave it a great treatment. He was a fantastic guest. And it's been an enjoyable 4th of July broadcast to present. We'll be back with you next week in South Carolina, and the week after that, we'll be back in studio with more great content as TPC's sizzling hot summer rolls on. Courtney, 2 minutes left. They're all yours.
Okay, I'm going to do this as quickly as I can. Now, just so nobody thinks I'm a hypocrite, I did mention, I think it was a year ago on this show, I mentioned how if things got bad enough, you know, my husband and I would go out to Montana or Idaho. But just so you don't think I'm a hypocrite, things would have to get very, very bad at that point where we're dividing along racial lines. But you know what? If the people out there, I mean, those areas are very sparsely populated. You had one gentleman write a letter whose family's been out there for forever, and I respect that. You know, a lot of the cowboys settled out there. I respect those people. It's very sparsely populated, and if they want to keep it that way, I respect that. And they can tell somebody like me to stay in Alabama. I respect that entirely. And,
Courtney,
yeah?
I was just going to say this. A lot of the people in the interior West were refugees from the South who were fleeing Reconstruction. That's why when I was a kid growing up, all the cowboys had Southern accents. But
right, exactly. And, you know, and my last point might be a little too loaded to make an ending point on, but maybe I can say it another time. But I, you know, my point tonight was not to be divisive. I want, you know, anybody on who listens to this show who's descended from, you know, the Ellis Island period or afterwards, and you respect the founding of America and the South and what we talk about on the show, I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying, you know, there has to be a cutoff point somewhere in our history where we probably should have stopped immigration and just should have, you know, we, you know, it's, I think that's a good stopping point to look back at when we had the most in common. We were the healthiest, and we were just what I would really call America, you know.
Well, that's we had in 1924 with the Johnson Anti-Immigration Act. But unfortunately, that was all undone in 1965 by the Hart-Celler Immigration Act, sponsored by Teddy Kennedy, that basically invited everybody except Europeans into America and gave them preference.
I want to thank all of our guests tonight. Ralph Long, Thomas Steuben. I want to thank Cyan at Countercurrents for setting up Thomas with us, and for doing the legwork and preparing for that. She's another one of these great young ladies that we work with. Obviously, Courtney, longtime friend. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Go shoot the fireworks. Think about what America used to be and how we're going to take it back. That's what we're going to do. For everyone else, our entire staff and crew, I'm James Edwards. Thank you, Courtney, for being with us tonight, as always. For everyone else, we'll see you next week. Good night, Godspeed, and happy 4th.
Happy 4th to everybody.